a season like no other. Falkirk have went through the whole league campaign and not lost once. Unbelievable, phenomenal, incredible, invincible.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall.
Into the box, it's Adams. And McKeever scores! Agyeman lets it run, might have a chance of a shot. It's Agyeman! Oh, what a goal from Alfredo Agyeman!
Still alive, Dylan Tate tries to bend one.
And it's a wonderful goal! Orfield! Oh, he's back! The king is back! Scott Arfield! What a small kick return!
And now, the end is near. It's time to face the final Falkirk Daft. I won't continue with that song because I don't know where I'm going to go with it. Hello, welcome to Falkirk Daft. It is your last episode of the season and we are finishing on a high, as we did last season as well, with a Champions Edition final podcast. I am John McInally, and with me as ever, the ginger god of bod himself, the one-man band in the main stand, Mr. Ross Wayne.
Good evening, sir. Good evening. It's we're still smiling a week on, aren't we?
I know. Do you know what? It's brilliant, and it's I've had two occasions this has happened this week. You just seem to greet fellow Falkirk supporters by singing "Champions Again, Ole Ole," don't you? I was out for a run on Wednesday. Yes, it doesn't look like I do it, but I was out for a run on Wednesday, and Brian Flynn, our sponsor, owner of Behind the Wall, was approaching. He was out in the dog walk with his dog Alfie, and it was just that way, still smiling, just grabbed each other, jumping about Champions Again, Ole. We'd done this on Friday previously as well, by the way. So we did that. And I'm getting off the train at Queen Street on Friday. I was going out to see a gig on Friday night, and again, Scott Henderson from Grunchy Carrots and his dad Alan were at the other side of the ticket barrier. I walked through the tickets and it was just again, just grabbing Scott, Champions Again, Ole Ole. And I did see the video that Grunchy Carrots put up actually. It's very, very
that was
very good
as well, wasn't it? That
very, very good.
They've done
but,
a good job there as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, so it is that way. I don't know how you found this week, but again, you just can't stop smiling.
Can't stop smiling. I agree. You've just, you're spot on, mate. It's just anytime you see a Falkirk fan, you need to burst into song, hugs, smiles. I even had the beautiful moment yesterday. As I've mentioned, my youngest and I went down to the stadium yesterday, lunchtime, we'd go and get a few bits, and then we went up the town. Because we had to go to Asda and get a couple of things as well. And I saw one of the very, very few Dunfermline fans that I know quite well, right? And he was standing in the aisle, the card aisle in Asda.
Yeah.
And he never saw me coming. And I thought, I'm going to have to sing something here. Champions Again.
Just like round his face. I would have went with the Falkirk going up and the Pars were staying down on that occasion.
Oh, yeah, I could have done that one as well, couldn't I? However, he's I'm actually organising his stag do in a few months' time, and I cannot wait for that, by the way. I cannot wait.
Hospitality at the Falkirk Stadium for your stag do, sir.
Either way, he'll be dressed in a Falkirk strip, whatever.
No, it's just been, like you say, and we've had the pleasure, we were asked to write a little bit for the... We spoke to Pablo, obviously, last week on the podcast, Pablo Robertson, who's got the new book, Championes, Ole Ole Ole, coming out very soon, which you can pre-order now. All the links you'll find on our socials. But we were writing our bits this week, Ross. It was very last minute. We were just like, I was like, Ross, do you write 500? I ended up actually writing about 750 words for it. But it was really quite cathartic, and I really enjoyed writing it, I have to say.
Yeah, it was good. It was. Do you know? Obviously, I know you've read mine as well, and vice versa. I've read what you've done, and it's a wee bit emotional at points.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah, yeah.
We have been on a massive journey, the last few years, but again, this year has just it's changed everything again for Falkirk fans, isn't it? So,
yes.
And we thank the players and everybody, the management and everybody at the club. It's just like, what a phenomenal ride, and it doesn't stop here. We keep going.
Absolutely. I've just come actually fresh. We're recording this podcast on Sunday night. I was down doing an event. It was very last minute. I got asked on Friday because the guy who's meant to be hosting it pulled out. So randomly, Graham Spears reached out to me and said, can you do this event in Caesar's Paradise? And I was like, yeah, it was Yogi and Crunchy. They were down. I had to say there was a bit of a backlash online when I put it on our social media because it's obviously a Celtic pub, right?
Yes, but,
see, Alan, the owner, Alan, actually, he said at the start of the season, because a lot of Falkirk boys still drinking there, you know, and he's saying there's a lot of Rangers supporters actually drink there as well, because they kind of, it's the old toe, it's the old kind of old toon pub, really, to go to, and he was saying that he'd said to the Falkirk boys, listen, if he's won the league, I'll put on a, like, a speakers night, because they normally use, obviously, Celtic players and Celtic speakers going there, and truth is, Word booked Yogi, booked Crunchy, because he, you know, Crunchy's lives down Grangemouth way now, and Yogi there. By the way, great, loved it. It was really nice to meet a few Falkirk Daft listeners down there. And Yogi, we need to get him for Falkirk Daft Live because he's brilliant. He's just Yogi beat. You know what Yogi's like? Just brilliant. Looking really, really good. Kind of, he was saying he's kind of lost the love for football when I was speaking to him. But he's now an ambassador at Hibs and does all the kind of sweets and stuff like that. But he says he's starting to get a wee taste for it again. So I don't know if that's an indication that he'll be looking to get back into management stuff. But
I can imagine it's quite still fresh in his mind because he's obviously his last couple of jobs was, well, from his perspective, because obviously, I think, was it not relegations with Wraith and Dunfermline at one point as well? But I think. Yeah, you know, I it's surprising he's been out for so long because for as much as he's an old school kind of guy, he wants to play football, doesn't he? So, and we saw that more than
anything. We talked about that as well, his kind of style of football. Well, some brilliant stories about, you know, Stokes and the Portuguese boys and just really, really good stuff. But yeah, it was, you know, He's kind of a bit of taste left in his mouth, you know, and we were talking about that on stage quite openly. And I was saying, well, it's a very different club now, Yogi, you know, and you've got your face on that North Stand. He wasn't happy with the picture that they chose, by the way. But I was like, you've got your face on that North Stand and you could walk around into any pub in Falkirk. Someone will buy you a drink because, you know, a long time's passed. And, you know, maybe it didn't end the best. There was a whole lot of grumblings in the stand about no plan B and all that sort of stuff before he actually ultimately moved. It was really interesting, the reasons that why he moved to Hibs, though, we'll hopefully get...
Oh, he's a Hibs lad, isn't he?
Yeah,
he is.
But it's actually, I think he would have stayed if there was certain things that went on behind the scenes and hearing it from the horse's mouth, you go, I can understand why, you know, you move. Because I actually, you know, asked him, you know, do any regrets of not taking Falkirk and having our first run at Europe? And then he talked about Eddie May and stuff. Very interesting conversation. So, but I'll tease you with that. And hopefully, I did say to him, I said, mate, we need to get you down for a Falkirk Daft Live behind the wall. So, He was warming a wee bit because I've tried him a couple of times, so he's warming a little bit. So I'm hoping that we can get him for one of the Falkirk Daft Lives next season because it's really interesting, great chat, and Crunchy as ever, just brilliant back up. Because they bounced off really well because I had some brilliant stories from like Cadet and, you know, like talking Tony Parks and brilliant story about Steve Cody and stuff like that as well. So we'll save it all up our sleeves for Falkirk Daft Live, but really interesting chat. And thanks very much to Caesar's Paradise, Alan and Mikey and all the staff there. Really, really good and a great turnout at Burns as well. So that was me this afternoon. So got my wee Falkirk fix at the weekend, so quite enjoyed it.
Good man.
Let's hop into Birthday Corner, though, Ross. You know, it's our last podcast of the season. Let's get the birthdays away. And who are we celebrating just now?
Yeah, we got a message from Gavin McGill, ex guest pundit as well. And he says, all right, boys, a wee late Birthday Corner, if that's okay. It was my wee girl Addison's 10th birthday last week on the 6th of May. Could we give her a wee shout out? So happy birthday, Addison.
Addison share our birthday with, though? Let's find out. Go. 6th of May, we're saying, Ross.
Yep, 6th of May.
Not many. Not great. Kenny Young, 1970, born 1974. Do you remember Kenny Young? I don't remember Kenny Young.
The name on
And
me.
Grant Hamilton.
What year is that?
He was born 1998, so I'm guessing maybe a youth player that maybe didn't really...
Oh, yeah, must have been.
So there you go. So not great,
not too many.
There you go.
Addison, you're the most famous Falkirk person that's born on the 6th of May.
There you go. There you go. We shout out as well to Stuart McDonald. He says, "All right, gents, I feel like I'm living in Mr. Wayne's shoes here. I too shed a tear from my couch last Friday. I was on dad duty with my junior bairns tucked up in bed, but definitely shed a tear from my dad, Craig, Uncle Alistair and Jimmy Miller, who are all great friends and Baird's sadly all taken far too soon. I haven't reached BBC fame, but I do feature with my son Flynn in the new season ticket promotional video. I'm the one blowing out my bum doing the hurdles. What a podcast there is. It's definitely a staple highlight of every week and sets up the footy vibe for the weekends. Keep up the good work, legends." Oh, we can't take that. PS, John, gutted there was no WWE reference this week, as I feel you've missed the perfect chance to for Cody Rhodes reference, and that we have finished our story, which is definitely too sweet. I messaged you, but I'm gutted. I didn't think of the Cody Rhodes reference. You won't get what we're talking about. But Falkirk have finished the story. I spoke to Lindsay, actually, when I was in the Caesars Paradise today. She won, did Heads and Tails, and she won it. And she said, "I really enjoy the wrestling references in the podcast, so keep them up." So, yeah, there we go. Falkirk finished the story just a bit like Cody Rhodes. So you won't get anything about that.
No idea.
Absolutely not. Right. Before we go on, I need to, we'll give you a wee sneak preview of something that got sent to us, which is good. You know, I kind of moonlight on the big Scottish football podcast as well. I have to say, I'm not going to be on it again tomorrow.
Well, you're not.
No, I know that there's calls coming in. I think they're going to speak to Jamie Swinney as well. But unfortunately, I've got an appointment that I need to go to, so I'm going to miss out on it. But, I will definitely be having this up my sleeve for the next time that I'm on it, because someone sent us, from White Novels, sent us an absolutely amazing bit of content, which I was to play for Stephen Mill, but we'll play it for you right now here in Falkirk Daft. It's a little ode to our friends from across the river in Fife, and it's a little song for Stephen Mill. Here we go.
Championship next season. It's okay. Not fun. Yeah, 'cause Jambo Bear's in the premiership. The sweaty octopus is in the premiership.
That's me, apparently.
Me and Ruth Davidson just sitting watching the bars.
Ruth Davidson, that is class.
Me and Ruth Davidson just sitting watching the bars. What an absolute bowser. So we'll get that out on the Big Scottish Football Podcast, but there you go, a wee sneak preview for you on the Falkirk this week. Me and Ruth Davidson just sitting watching the bars. Amazing.
I should get that on a t-shirt.
Do you know what? Once we get that done, we need to speak to, we need to put a shout out for Gordon, who has got a new range of Falkirk Daft t-shirts and pints and prints. But I definitely think me and Ruth Davidson just sitting watching the pars for a caricature of Stephen and Ruth with their done fairwood scarves on would be amazing. But I am sporting one of the new Falkirk Daft t-shirts, which you can get on Pints and Prints, along with what Ross is sporting his as well, Falkirk Daft. You can get a Wayne Train t-shirt, you get the Falkirk 316 t-shirt, and we've got a Falkirk Dafties t-shirt as well. But this is the new one, an ode which I came up with. Captain Chaos himself, Mr. Alfredo Aguiman, there he is there.
Donned he looks so happy in that picture, doesn't he? He does.
Oh, I love it. Absolutely love it. I saw Alfie, I said, "Oh, I need to show you this t-shirt that we're getting made up for you, Alfie," and I couldn't get it on my phone because it was steaming. there we go. Captain Chaos, if you want an Alfie Aguiman t-shirt, get yourself at pintsandprints.co.uk now, or as you say, Falkirk Daft or Falkirk 316, or indeed the Wayne Train t-shirt, which Ross has got, obviously, that as well, and his loving's got a caricature of Ross as well. Love it.
I know Gordon's done, he's done me well, because the cartoon character has far more hair than I actually have in real life. So, fair play to Gordon. Actually, they had a few people message me say they love it and they were going to get it. So, I think there's been a few sales. I think Gordon mentioned there's been a few sales and so far. So, yeah.
And Gordon's put a whole champions range up on Pints and Prints as well. So,
There's a fantastic one have you seen the one with the it was like the spray paint and stuff like that? It's very, very cool.
Absolutely. Right, okay, before we get into looking back at the season, we're going to do a full season review in the company of Doogie, Ali, and the one and only big time Chris McGill, our kit man. We've got to say thanks very much to our episode sponsor this week, and it's SDS Garden Buildings and Landscape. Stuart, great guy. Met him on the pitch during the pitch invasion, saw him at Behind the Wall. He was there for Falkirk Daft Live as well. Top guy. And like we say, keep it in the Falkirk family. So if you're looking for, like, you know, Ross has got a pub in his garden. I'm very jealous. Still not had an invite.
You did. I literally said yesterday, we're in all day. That is an invitation to me.
Right. I want a date in the diary. I'm wanting an end of season party round at yours for Falkirk Daft Live. Let's do it. In fact, the next Falkirk Daft Live, just do it from your house.
Fuck that.
But Stuart, if you want like a pub, what you need to do is get in touch with Stuart and get it sorted. Not only does he do pub, it's the outside offices. If you're looking for a UPVC garden office, maybe a gym, or perhaps a workspace, he does units from Scandinavian Redwood Cladding, which are really, really nice, totally stand out. And he'll work around you with spec, he'll work around you with what you want to do. He'll be with you every step of the way. And Stuart's actually a teacher by trade. This is a side hustle because everyone needs a side hustle in life now. So you know you're going to be able to trust Stuart and you're not going to get fannied about, to put it in a very blunt way. But yeah, completely transparent all the way. So if you fancy a wee pub in your back garden, why not get in touch with Stuart, sdsgardenbuildings.co.uk. He'll be with you every step of the way with CAD drawings, communicate with you, and all the design as well. So thanks very much to Stuart. All details are below sdsgardensbuildings.co.uk. Right, some quick club news before we look at the last or review the season in the company of Doogie, Ali, and big time kit man himself, Chris McGill. There's a title party coming this Friday, Ross.
There is, yes. So the FSS have their title party night at the Camelin Social Club Friday night, which is the 16th, I think. 7:30 kickoff there. Tickets are available via Skiddle. Do you know what? It's probably the last event that will be arranged before the closed season starts or pre-season starts. So if you are free and able, get yourself along to the Camelin Social Club. Loads and loads of like-minded bairns just having a party. And all of the funds will be going towards our Premier push, as they say. And do you know what? I thought it was a really good comment for Jamie Swinney on X over the weekend, John. And It's, make no mistake about it, without the FSS, we do not have an invincible season followed by a back-to-back championship title. Two years ago, the funds helped the club recruit Spencer, Miller and Lang. This season passed, it allowed the club to bring in Tate and Ross, Ethan Ross permanently. Everton. So again, if you can get along at the night, fantastic, but if you can and you're still not a member, get involved, and you can also get 12 months to pay your season ticket if you're a member of the FSS.
Yeah, absolutely. Check out the video, actually, that they released the FSS this week. Really, really good. So if you aren't a member of the FSS, and you, listen, not everyone can afford to be, but if you can, get involved. It's only going to help the club and push us, hopefully, for staying in that Premiership next season. Of course, win it and get into Europe. But we'll take anything. Obviously, season tickets on sale this week, Ross, and I have to say, very reasonably priced.
Fantastic pricing. Absolutely fantastic pricing. I think we all thought there would be like £100 or more added on to the season ticket. And for the, realistically, what is that? Like an extra, like for us in the main stand, it's like an extra £30 or something like that. That's phenomenal value. Phenomenal value. So, and as always, the club have got the managers funding as well. So if people, again, like just as you said, John, not everyone will be able to do it, but for those that can and wish to do so, you can top up using the manager's fund as well. But the prices are being seen for what they are. We sold 2,500 season tickets as at Friday afternoon, As it is just now, Sunday night, there looks to be less than 40 tickets, wow. 40 seats left in the main stand. Now, granted, obviously, there's still a lot of blue seats because people have got time to renew, but we are very close to selling out the main stand, and Jamie Swinney has already been replying to fans on Twitter, etc., to say that the North Stand will be used by Falkirk fans this season. So, and that includes season tickets, and I think that's a fantastic thing to have Falkirk fans on all three sides of the ground.
That'd be brilliant. Actually, four of my mates, I was like, glory hunters. I mean, they've been Falkirk supporters, I have to admit, but I was like, where were you in a cold night, sitting in League One watching drivel against Peterhead or whatever? But they've actually four of them have bought season tickets and they're in the main stand for next season as well. So, like you say, there'll be a lot of people like them doing that as well. So, aye, great. Long may it continue. And like you say, I'll be interested to see what happens with the North Stand, the allocation, and to see.
Well, 50-50 split by the sounds of it. And yeah. The Premier League teams will just need to
suck it up.
And do you know what, though? There'll be a few teams we won't even get 1,000 tickets for. Celtic, Rangers, Hearts. We're not going to get 1,000 tickets at these places. So for those fans, and I'm sure they'll be the moniest, they're not going to get. We're not going to get any more than that at their place.
Yeah, true. Congratulations to the under-16s and under-18s. They both won their leagues today.
Amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. So well done to the guys. That's absolutely brilliant. Under-16s also won the League Cup as well. So The future is bright in Falkirk. And we're still waiting on the word. You know, I thought we might have had word on potentially the relaunch of the academy. But I'm guessing there's a lot of dotting the I's and crossing the T's.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll come. We were only a week down the line. I believe the board met last week to finalise the new budget, The Premiership budget. And I assume with that, they will have allocated X amount of funds towards restarting the academy. But what a way to finish our championship as a club, the championship period, by the under-16s and under-18s winning their leagues, and 10-1 today. And it sounds like there was a belter of a crowd down at the stadium. And the ultras, I believe, were in attendance at
Brilliant.
The under-16s match as well. So, well done, boys.
Superb. Falkirk women as well, being good form the last couple of weeks. They beat Inverness.
2-2 today, didn't they?
Yep, 4-2 to Inverness. Against Inverness last week, and this week it was 2-2 against East Fife. I'm looking for the table to find out where that puts them, because I know obviously it's the split now, so I don't know how far they are from the playoffs, so I'll have to check that out. But yeah, well done to the Falkirk women as well, back on form, and hopefully pushing for promotion themselves as well. Thanks very much to our sponsors before we get into the season view. And of course, that is Behind the Wall. Stay local, eat and drink global. As I said, bumped into Big Brian when I was out in my running. He is still smiling from ear to ear as well. And of course, the Falkirk Daft Venom. The season might be over, but the Falkirk Daft Venom is still on sale. And make sure behind the bar they call it the Falkirk Daft Venom and not just the Blue Venom. Because you just have to create something. No, it's the Falkirk Daft Venom, not just the blue video. And there's loads of stuff happening at Behind the Wall. If you want any details, behindthewall.co.uk. But on the way, you've got the Honky Tonk Stomp. Ross, that's happening next weekend. I know you're a big fan of a bit of honky tonk.
Not really. However.
Yvonne Nor Trio are in there on the 24th. NOS, that's G-N-O-S-S. They're in there on the 31st of May. There's our play, Midsummer Night's Dream, if you like a bit of Shakespeare. Oh. There you go. That's so you're not any honky-tonk, but Shakespeare, you're all over it.
That floats my boat, there we go.
Now, get yourself along. And Babs and Bubbles is happening on the 8th of June. That's more your bag right there, Ross, isn't it?
Babs and Bubbles.
So check out all the events at behindthewall.co.uk. And remember, great selection of wine, fine wines, lagers, craft and cask ales, and brilliant food at a great value as well. And I believe the Stagecoach is back.
Oof. No, listen, the food is phenomenal. And if that is true, even more people will be going there for their lunch and dinner. So getting amongst it.
Absolutely. Right, let's get into the season and let's get into the football in our last podcast of the season. And we're going to do it in the company of two boys from the Falkirk Football Fans and Training. It's Ali Wilson and Dougie McCallum. And of course, the legend that is Chris McGill.
Hey, gents.
Up there's a girl. Up there's a girl. Liked it that first time. We've done it twice.
Was there, on the plane over to Ibiza, Christopher, was there lots of that singing going on?
Well, wee story for me. I had an absolute nook.
So, right.
We obviously, the boys didn't jinx it. Nobody jinxed it. So we actually all booked it on the Sunday. And Cammy, the physio, came this time with me. So I thought, oh, do you know what? Like, I'll sort the flights. Brilliant. No problem. Did I not stupidly book my flights, realise after I booked them that I got a connection flight to London City? So the rest of the boys all went from Glasgow, Edinburgh. I sorted a bus out to Newcastle for them. So they're all texting me saying, where are you, mate? We're in Ibiza. We're still in London City Airport for 3.5 hours.
Nightmare. Nightmare.
And having been to London City Airport, there is nothing in London City Airport as well.
It was tiny. The only bonus, though, was we got to see the Red Arrows pass, but...
Was it worth it, then?
What's that?
Was it worth it?
The 3.5 hour wait, until we got there, everybody's smashed, but... human.
I'm sure you caught up, Chris.
Eventually.
And the post-season Falkirk Dafty is, for the hat-trick, Chris McGill.
Oh, there we go.
Ross Wayne's crossbar challenge attempt.
I'll never be beaten, to be honest with you.
Can I just throw something in here, right?
See, obviously, I hit the back of the net. I scored the goal.
Right, 2 points, right? One, it went in, as John just said, right? Nailed it. Secondly, we didn't do Falkirk Dafty or Dafty of the Week last week, but if anyone was going to get it, it was going to be Chris. Navy fucking socks on the last day of the season. He knows the
Navy blue.
About Navy fucking socks.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
This isn't my choice.
It is. You just tell Hamilton to fuck off like everybody else gets in there.
Their kit man's really nice. I like him.
Oh, forget it.
Right, we're acquaintance, yeah.
You're more obsessed with socks than Chris is, Ross James Wayne.
Exactly.
You come back and hit the crossbar, pal. Listen, see that night? I didn't even know until I walked out. As soon as I walked out at half-time, I heard about your crossbar attempt. And I thought, oh, brilliant. That's one of Chris one up with.
We've all seen it in replay.
tons of times.
Gents, thank you so much for joining us in our last Falkirk Daft of the season. It's a pleasure to have you on. Let's just go back and just have a... I'm going to say have a wank over the season, because that's what we need to do, because it was absolutely incredible. But did we think at the start of the season, Chris, I'll leave you at this one because you're obviously an affiliate, but Dougie, Ali, did you think at the start of the season, what were your predictions and where do you think we'd end up?
We had a debate one Tuesday night for this. It was a big debate. The consensus was anything from third bottom to fifth. Fifth would be ecstatic, but where it ended up, can you complain? No, you can't.
Absolutely not. Ross, you were always on the kind of, I mean, I said, like you, Dougie, I mean, me and you were quite similar in that thought. It was that fifth would be really good. I think if we could sneak the playoffs, what a successful season that would be. Ross, you were all in from the start.
Pretty much, yeah. Well, not pre-season. I think, like, before we kicked the ball, I genuinely thought we had enough about us to see playoffs. However, it was like a culmination of the cup ties. So when we beat Dundee United, I thought, we're not going to face anyone better than Dundee United. We then beat Hearts. You're not going to play anybody better than Hearts. We then faced Celtic and did so well for 70 minutes. And you're not going to play anyone better than that all season. So just go and get this league done. And yeah, so I was fairly confident through most of the first few months of the season.
Dougie, Ali, happy with the recruitment that came in? Obviously, we retained most of the Invincibles. I think the big surprise for everyone was Keelan Adams. You know, obviously Finn was injured at the start of the season, so Keelan came in, absolutely hit the ground running. A few other additions to the squad, but were you happy with the kind of squad we started the season with?
I think that's probably the biggest asset John McGlynn's got. He spots a player, and he spots a player very, very well. And it's not just for how the player plays, but how does a player fit in to the change room as well. So he's got that spot on.
Chris, with the start we had, could you feel it in the dressing room, like slowly kind of building, you know, because we did start off even in the league, you know, flyer, you know, obviously that result against Queen's Park in the opening day, you know, and then we go on and we do go to East End Park and we win 2-0 there, and then it just kind of it kicked on from there. Did the feeling start to creep into the dressing room at that point, going, we've actually got a chance here?
Well, obviously, if you remember back to right at the start of the season and the way Queen's Park were playing, I thought, wow, like this league's a different level. So to say that we were going to get promoted and end up in the playoffs, I thought, we're all sitting there going, that was a really good game of football. They're a really, really good team. So like to say that we were going to win the league and be in playoffs, nobody was saying it and nobody ever would say it. But obviously, you've got a good squad there and they're confident. But yeah, it's hard to say right for the start of the season how the boys were experiencing things.
Yeah, I think, Ross, a big turning point, you know, we had obviously the win against Hearts, which was a phenomenal performance, and like you say, kind of set down a marker and gave you confidence to go on, you know, but, you know, I think a big result in looking at that kind of first month of the season was the comeback win against Morton and Alfie's winner right at the end. I thought that at that point, you're going, oh, we might have a chance here.
Yeah, no, I would agree, because what was that, third or fourth league game? Yeah. And as Chris said, it was a culmination of results. So we'd won against Queen's Park. However, it was a tough, tough game. Like for months and months, I think we're quoted as saying that was probably one of their toughest games up to maybe even New Year. And then the Pars were away, and then we're the gap for the cup tie. And then, as you say, we faced a test 2-0 down. That is a huge test, especially in the Championship as well, from a team that we'd kind of struggled against for a few years. And I agree, like that properly then gave you the sort of bit of confidence again to say, we'll keep passing these wee tests. And that's genuinely how I felt. We just kind of kept going towards Christmas and New Year. We just kept passing these wee tests.
Ali, I know you were at the game as well. And I thought, actually, from my perspective, I thought a big changing point in mindset, a big changing point, was actually going away to Airdrie and just absolutely bossing it. Obviously, Sean Mackey and Dylan Tate getting the goals in that game, but for me, that again, it was a club we'd really struggled against, and seemed to be a, you know, that for me was a big turning point as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you always bite your fingernails when you're away at Airdrie, like, because it's not always a happy hunting ground, but we bossed it, and you're just like, we are a team to be up there challenging rather than mid table. Yeah. It was that Morton game, and then taking that momentum onto that Airdrie game, and we just, Dylan Tate's goal, we walked it really. They never had a look in Airdrie.
He could have scored a nine that day.
Yeah, going to be contenders here. We're going to be up there fighting.
Yeah, I mean, the unbeaten run, Chris, had to come to an end at some point. Obviously, unfortunately, it was against fucking Raith Rovers. But what was the feeling in the dressing room at that point when it eventually came to the end? Obviously, Ross McKeever was injured at that point, and we're playing big Michael McKenna up top. Was the you know, because they went so long without actually tasting a loss. What was the kind of feeling in the dressing room after that game?
It's as if the world ended. Like, it's hard. And obviously, it's been documented about the cartoons.
Oh yeah,
I felt raging walking out the ground that day, and there was a few comments for myself and a few other players to say, like, to some of the Raith Rovers staff, they wanted me to have a word with your social media team, because we just thought it wasn't classy at all, and to individually pick out people was quite poor.
Yeah,
but I to come away from that game being beat, and I was gutted. I was gotten.
Yeah, but like, you know, as we saw throughout the season, it was a complete bounce back again in the next game, because then you suddenly, I mean, I'm sure this creeped into the dressing room as well, Chris, is like, oh, our folk are going to wobble now. But then when you bounce back, Ross, and you're beating Ayr United 2-0, you know, and then we had Livingston, who were starting to contend. I mean, we were only able to draw with them, and you know, then it was a nice run of results through October, then as well, culminating in beating us, beating Dunfermline at the stadium. But yeah, we at no point did we let that kind of affect our mentality, did we?
Didn't look to be, no. And I think it certainly galvanised from the outside looking in. And as Chris said, when you go back to like the nonsense with social media, with some, I think there's one thing podcasts doing it and fans groups doing it and stuff, right? But see when official clubs do it. And I think Brad answered it himself when we did, when we were at the Manicky last week. Even when Wraith beat us in April, which I'm fast forwarding a bit to, Brad noticed Wraith have tweeted 21 times between full time and the Monday morning. And you just think players, of course players are going to notice this stuff. They're not immune to social media. So I think it was a mistake on Wraith's part back in September. And as you said, though, John, it spurred us on. That week, the 3 points over here was huge because there was a big crowd at the stadium, a big expecting crowd as well. And then I know we drew with Livy, but it should have been a win that night with a goal.
Yeah, what was the thought? I mean, it looked like we should have scored that night, Chris. What was the thoughts in the dressing room that night when obviously Keelan pulls it back and Aidan puts it into the net?
It's gotten like...
Definitely a goal, definitely. Keelan's adamant that it's...
Oh, taken. Yeah, 100%. We watched it back in analysis after the game as well. We all watched it back and we all seen it. And to come away and not take 3 points that night as well, raging, if anything.
Yeah. I think you're finding out some of these tweets, right, for Rafe and Lumsden. Some of the tweets are coming out from the club before the players are even off the pitch. I mean, the Rafe one about John McGinn's tears, I got that as soon as we came through there, before he even seen the result come through in the BBC. Can you see it coming through? And Lumsden's the same about the Grangemouth hints and all that. The game's not just over, and they must have already ready to go.
Yeah. November was a good month for Falkirk. You know, the Livingston result aside, which was, I mean, it was an absolute wonder goal from Tete Yenge, an absolute cracker from him that month. But, you know, performances season potentially, Ross, was the 6-0 win off over Morton?
Yeah, that was an enjoyable one. As we've said earlier, Morton had a little bit of a sign over us for a few seasons, so it was really nice to kind of give them an absolute doing that day. And again, it could have been 7 or 8, maybe even 9 goals that day. Everything was just clicking. And you just felt, again, this is pre the Livingston away game we talk about with Tete Yenge, but we're on such a good run here. We're now unbeaten in the last 6 or 7 games. Such a strong quarter. And we just need to sort of keep doing what we've been doing. And at that stage, that's all we felt was if we had to do, don't worry about anyone else, just concentrate on what we're doing.
Yeah. Another pleasing result, Chris, and I'm sure this was reflected in the dressing room as well, was that game against Wraith Rovers at the start of December, which for me was like a training game. We were so good that day, and it seemed like the boys had the bit between their teeth against Wraith that afternoon.
Am I right in saying that's the one straight after the cup game when they beat us as well?
No, that was the one that we absolutely bossed them just before Christmas.
Oh, yeah, at home, sorry. Yeah, I just... To be fair, like, see when you always come up the likes of the Wraith and, like, the Morton, like, you don't expect to come away playing the sort of football that you played and playing that well against teams like that. Mm. But even, like, their kit men, they came away saying, you guys are unbelievable, you will win the league this year. And see when you hear that comments from other kit men, you're trying to tone yourself down a bit, going, aye, okay. Like, the amount of kit men that maybe come up to me this year going, are you going to win the league this year? And you're trying to say, like, aye, okay, aye, nah, I kind of see it. But the stuff the boys play is brilliant.
Yeah. I thought that, especially Doogie Alley, I thought that performance was made them look like a training game. Unfortunately, we had a bit of a sticky patch, I think, is probably, we went into our, because it happened to every team in the Championship. It was that, kind of, we had a wee bit of sticky patch. I don't think, obviously, Luke Graham, you know, when we're 2-1 up and Luke Graham got sent off against Ayr, which we found out afterwards was obviously, it was rescinded, as a, you know, it wasn't a red card. But that way, little December patch, where, you know, beating off Ayr, we struggled a wee bit against Hamilton at home, and then East End Park, which was a good night out, but, you know, just not being able to see that game out. There was a wee bit of questions over the game management at that point because we were, you know, and we saw that further in the season. What did you make of this, that kind of patch? Were you worried at that point, boys?
I think it was probably just before that I was a bit worried at the Hampton away game, even though we went goals up, but we went up up to an OG, a dodgy penalty and a goal that the keeper should have held, and they came back to it.
There's the keeper talking there. There's the keeper talking.
But it's a case of that's debating that fall. She said that's a bit I was a bit worried about. But yeah, just before Christmas, we were talking about there, where Chris was saying the government, we went behind the scenes at the Hampden for the hospitality there. Great night out. But their directors came out and basically they were saying then the league's over, it's done, and that was number 1-0 with it. So I guess a wee bit of spirit there, but at the start of the season, that's the time of the tournament, that's when I think Ayr went top of the league.
Yeah.
I do think if I summarise up the season, I think we're by far the best football side, by far. Livy are the strongest side by brute force, and Ayr is something of a blend between the two. And I thought when Ayr went top of the league, we could be fortunate to get there. But once we got heads back in front, I thought I wasn't on the main train, but I was standing at the platform with a platform ticket.
Ross, I mean, obviously disappointed in the Scottish Cup to go out to Raith Rovers in extra time, because you know you want to get into the next round. We've been spoiled as Falkirk supporters, you know, and over the last, you know, my lifetime actually, you know, with three finals and, you know, semi-finals and what have you. But yeah, it was the Raith Rovers one in extra time was, you know, it was fine, but at that point it seemed, you know, league is the priority.
Yeah, as you said, John, you want to do well in the cups, but it's not for me at the stage of the season where we're at. We were obviously there or thereabout. You didn't want anything to potentially derail this promotion push, and that was a huge week for the club. Well, obviously with the cup loss aside, like taking that out, obviously what happened to Paul, thankfully, he's fit and well, and according to the man himself, he feels better than he's ever done, which is brilliant. There was obviously the Callum situation the day after, which rumbled on. We got through that. It almost galvanised everyone. Certainly, again, Chris, from the outside looking in, it certainly looked as if it galvanised the squad quite a bit as well.
But, seeing you got a bit, after you've been beat off Raith, how to come out and play the next game we did.
Yeah.
That's down to genuinely see the gaffer, the work that guy puts in. It's ridiculous. Like, he genuinely will. He'll watch a game back on the bus and then watch it back in the house. And his tactical knowledge is first to none. But yeah, that period of time, especially when Smudger fell ill, like, it's frightening, absolutely frightening. You're in the building and it's crazy. I had no idea. I was doing the laundry and then I came back down and all I'd heard is Smudger's at the hospital. And I went, you what? Yeah. And obviously explained exactly what happened. And it just galvanised the full squad. We came in on Monday and, you know, everybody's talking about it. And yeah, like, it goes down to Smudger. Smudger's an absolute amazing man. But he's like, gets his stints in and he's sitting laughing and joking the next thing. And there you're like, that's wild.
I know, the fact he turned, I was like, you know, we asked him on stage when we did Falkirk Daffy. I was like, how did your wife let you go to the game the next again week? You know what I mean? You've just had a heart attack. And she's like, aye, on you go. She's like, he's like, aye, she just wanted to be at the house.
Yeah, I had no idea he was at Raith until I think he came down at half time. And I'm like, like, what? I just couldn't believe it. And to have him come up at the end of the game and have the fans applauding him and stuff like that, it's just special.
That was almost moment of the season.
Yeah, just a lovely special moment for a lovely man.
Yeah, I mean, what didn't help obviously that week as well, Chris, was the Callum Morrison situation. I mean, how, Callum, you've worked with Callum. We heard from Stephen McGinn actually at Falkirk Daft Live, I think we spoke about it, how before he sort of came in as captain, he was a bit of an outsider, and Stephen tried to bring him into the group and try and make him feel more part of the team, which I think was happening. What was the feelings in the dressing room when Callum's obviously went and handed in this transfer request?
Obviously, kind of disappointment, you know. I think a lot of the boys kind of, as well documented, it kind of came out the blue to everybody, came out the blue to myself, and yeah, just kind of, he actually came through my kit room, and he at the time he says, "I don't think I've done the right thing," and I says, "Nah, it's hard." Like, I say to everybody, and people might not appreciate me saying this, but football's a short career. You've got to try and make as much money as you can and increase your profile as much as you can as well. Do I think Callum's done that? I don't know. Callum is a lovely boy, and I wouldn't put this down to the detriment. And if you think about all the service he's put into this club for years upon years, being top goal scorer for us every other season, but he had to do the right by himself. And yeah, granted, it kind of shocked a lot of people. But I also do, secondly, like, that McGinn moving on was massive for Callum, because what McGinn used to get up to and include Callum in, it's brilliant. Like, Callum was a gangster in the changing room, funny guy, getting up to stuff, and McGinn would just stir that pot.
Yeah.
And Callum loved it. And I think, yeah, that's why you kind of, we kind of miss McGinn in that sense. Like, I certainly do, but everybody, boys will look at this and they'll slag me, but, and so will the staff. But I used to be McGinn's wee boy.
confirmed sock thief now as well. As we
was know. He? I thought he was, yeah.
Yeah, you let us know.
I used to go into changing them and nick everybody's socks and then hide them away. And it was just, I would get to the point, boys were coming in, taking O'Neill's socks. Chris was like, "What do you want me to do? I've got any socks." And it would drive me insane.
Chris, can I ask you one question about that? And we'll move on for the Callum situation. I don't think you'll have ever been asked this question before. Did you cut holes in his grip socks after he put his transfer request in? Because I think I would have done that at the time.
No.
He's still getting
a bag.
He's still getting to destroy his own product.
No.
Ross, you know fine well, he put a good word in with Callum Morrison so he can go across here and try and sell some more to Linfield.
There you are.
I'll send him on his way up here. But yeah, regardless of the stories about Callum, and you always want him to do well for himself. But like, if you bear in mind, we still had to keep him as well. So you've got to keep him right, and you want to keep him to do well. But he's had to do right by himself and by his family.
Yeah, listen, and like you say, I think there'll be time that will pass, and there will be a time that will pass. You know, I was doing an event with Yogi today, and everyone loves Yogi. Cal will be the same, you know, in 5 years' time when he's coming back and doing Invincibles dinners, which will inevitably happen at some point. All I'm pretty sure will be forgiven and forgotten.
Callum still comes to games. Nobody knows, but Callum still comes to games.
Yeah,
he's asked me for quite a lot of tickets to be put aside for him, because obviously Linfield played on Friday nights, so Callum actually came over and watched a lot of your games. And I think I'm right in saying I never got him tickets, but I don't know if he was there for the last game of the season, but he certainly was for the away games.
Yeah,
he was always on at me asking me for tickets. So he always does. He texts me every now and again asking how the boys are getting and stuff like that. So, like, he's still got a lot of love for the boys and the club and stuff. But yeah, he does attend a good few of the games.
That's good to hear. It's good to hear. You know, we at that point we're in the league. We're still top of the league, and then we have Livingston kind of thorn in our side all season so far. And then we go to have them at home, and again Ross just can't seem to get a win over them, which was worrying at that point.
Do you know? I think had we lost to them at any other time, but there was obviously a lot going on at that point. There was as we've just said, the 2-3 weeks leading up to that game, there was so much going on. There was rumours about players coming, players going. Callum was obviously still with the club at that point as well. The whole Scott Arfield thing didn't blow up till really the next day or the day after. So it was a disappointing night. But personally, anyway, I didn't think it was going to like throw us off. Obviously, they, as Doogie said earlier, their social media team then went into some weird, because they hadn't been too bad up to that point, but that was the turning point for their social media team to just absolutely
started digging us out. Like, we're just a podcast.
Yeah, exactly. We bookmarked that though.
Oh, I enjoyed that.
That was fine. But yeah, it was.
I wonder why they dig you guys out.
Yeah, because we're just a bit bish. I know. Here's a question though, and I don't know if Chris will answer this. There's obviously the Livingston have made a big thing about this whole hammer throwers thing. Was that shouted in the tunnel? Is that what's pissed them off at the time, do you think?
I've heard rumours about what happened in the tunnel and certain people saying the word hammer throwers who might be a central midfielder with the name Dylan. But I don't know if that's true or not.
You
But
may as well just say
I don't, sorry, I don't know.
Your cryptic clues, right?
My lips are sealed, John. Aye.
Yeah, no, well, listen, it didn't matter in the end anyway. Doogie, Ali, Ross mentioned it there. Scott Arfield, it was a GFK moment. Where were you when you heard the news that Scott Arfield had re-signed for Falkirk?
I was getting ready. I was on social media, Facebook, the whole lot in the house. 11 o'clock came, not one thing. Then you're like, I'm up at 5 o'clock for work in the morning. And you're like, oh, come on. And then I just fell out. And then I woke up in the morning at 3 o'clock, wide-eyed awake. And I was there and I went, no way. Again, that was me awake for the rest of the day. Couldn't get back to sleep. I was just on another level. Such a signing.
I know. Chris, how long did it take you from Scott Arfield arriving at the club and then you selling him grip socks?
First 10 minutes.
There's my boy. That's my boy right there.
Yeah, believe it or
The
not,
good
so.
thing, the good thing that I got that day with the Firth Apartheid game, sitting in the Westfield Lounge, and Gene comes across, because we know Gene way back to the Brockville days, and all Gene could talk about was when Scott Arfield came in for the game, walked past the press straight to Gene, gave Gene a hug. That Gene was just made up.
Yeah, I was
And it
having
shows a measure of the man as well. So. Absolutely.
absolutely beautiful moment. Ross, we were on the group chat. Like, I got a tip off, so I'm pals with Grado. So Grado had messaged me like at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, saying, "I've been speaking to someone who's on his way up to Falkirk right now," and I'm like, "Shut up! Don't just give me this information. Tell, is it happening? Is it happening?" So I got to kind of tip off on that. But Ross, in the group chat, I'm sure every other Falkirk supporters group chat, it was just such a buzz, wasn't it, for Scotty to return?
It was, and it was, yeah. As Doogie said, it was like the boys returning, and we knew how good he was first time. We've seen how well he's done these clubs in between, and he had said it, didn't he? Scotty was quoted as saying he would love to go back at some point. Did I think it was going to be this season? I don't think I did. I had in my head that it would maybe be the summer, assuming. We were in a strong position to get him in. However, like the stars just seemed to align that weekend, with everything, and I was probably smiling as much as I am now thinking back about it because it was such a good night. And like social media was just went berserk, group chats went mental. Chris, I don't know, as the I take it the players have got like a group chat as well, was that, which I'm sure you're on. Like what was the boys saying there? Like were they getting involved with the buzz as well?
So nobody actually mentioned it like at all. I had a few players texting me that night, thinking that I knew. So
Right.
I had a few players actually text me saying, "Is it true Scotty Arfield's coming in the door?" And I'm like, "Absolutely no chance, no way." And I says, "I've not heard anything." And to be fair, like I said, the gaffer keeps all his signings close to his chest and stuff like that, which I think is brilliant.
Yeah.
But I had absolutely no idea, and I was the same like Ali. 11 o'clock, I'm away at my bed, it's not happening, whatever. And then woke up first thing in the morning and I've tapped my missus, she's asleep. Woman, Scott Arfield. And she's like, "Aye, whatever, Chris, go back to bed." Like, "Shut up, wake up." Scott Arfield's going to be there. But yeah, a good few of the players had actually texted me saying, "Is it true?" And I was like, "Nah, I don't think so." And a few of the boys actually had me texting them saying, "Go and ask the ground staff to check the CCTV just in case he's coming in."
See if they want to know how much it meant to Scott Arfield winning there on Friday night. See if you look at the match day story. It's quite a good about a half hour, 45 minutes goes through there. Look at when the players are lining up to get the medals. Just look at Scott Arfield's face. That boy cannot be in anywhere a happier place.
Well, he certainly was his first game. Jesus Christ Almighty, it was unbelievable. You just like
87, 88 seconds.
And first touch of the ball back as a Falkirk player, and he scores. I mean, there was complaints it wasn't the Heritage top, which is now going down as a legendary top because everyone went out and bought it after that. Ross, it was that's we keep saying Roy the Rovers stuff. A hat first score with your first touch, and then going to score a hat trick against this. It was unbelievable.
It was one of the best goal moments of, well, for a long, long time. Maybe not so much just this season, but in general. Probably only beaten by Ethan's second goal last Friday, which like the roof just blew off the place. But you saw what it meant to Scott. You saw what it meant to everybody else. He ran over towards the ultras and stuff as well. It was just a perfect, perfect moment. And I think everybody just got that wee lump in their throat at that as well, especially guys of our vintage, and I'm including us all here. We remember Scotty for his first spell. We remember how he felt about the club. And the interviews leading up to the Thistle game were really poignant as well. He talked about Craig Gowans, talking about how he was part of the team that relegated us and he wanted to do this. And it was just, as you said, 37, 36, 37 seconds on the clock. It was just so apt, wasn't it?
Just special. Never see a debut like that ever again. It was absolutely unbelievable. From that point, 2-0, I thought this was a really, again, important game as well. When we're 2-0 down against Ayr and we brought it back to 2-2, just again, like the Morton game earlier in the season, like going to and getting back to that 2, it was a really, really important game. We obviously owned Morton, which we owned them all season. I think, how many teams did we beat? Airdrie 4 times, we beat Morton 4 times. I think Queen's that was Park. The only 2 teams we beat 4 times.
Queen's Park.
Queen's Park, we drew with them.
No,
we
drew with Queen's Park. Really.
They had the 0-0 in January. So, but it was great. I just love Doan and Morton. That was great fun. Then we're kind of going, oh, well, we are maybe going to have a standard chance of winning this championship. You know, we went away to Airdrie again, and our team we owned, beat the M3-0. Not the best game at the Falkirk Stadium against Dunfermline. Still, again, owning Dunfermline was beautiful, and a wee 1-0 win there. And again, Chris, I talked about the performances this season. For me, the standouts certainly at home were against, you know, that Raith Rovers game I thought were outstanding. Away against Airdrie, that Queen's Park game at Hampden, I mean, it was just, what you were right down and amongst that at Hampden, it was just a joy to watch.
Yeah, just the patterns of play, just the football we were playing. Gary Oliver that day, brilliant. Yeah. They come on, excellent. Just his link-up play, just brilliant. Just very, very good football to watch. And do you know what? You get the lead-up to that in training, and it's nice to see exactly what the Gaffer and Smudger are putting in place when you watch the training to what they put into the game. And it's exactly what they put into play. It was brilliant. So nice to watch.
Incredible performance. The one performance that, and this at this point you're thinking, I mean, this is when the champions again, ole ole, started creeping into the stands when we went and beat Airdrie at home. But and all it took, I think, and this is what the Wayne train, this was when you were preparing the Wayne train, Ross, as well. All it took was just that. This is where I think the nerves started creaking in the Falkirk supporters when we were 0-0 at Livingston, and we just had to see it out. And then you're thinking, it's done. It's done at that point. But then Ross went on to get that last minute kind of goal to leave them, you know, get us a bit closer. You weren't panicked at that point as much as I was completely panicked, and you've heard in this podcast throughout the season how panicked I've been by the whole thing. But you were quite adamant, even with that.
Yeah, I still thought we'd do it. I was more annoyed because I really wanted to win it before my holiday. And
this was all going in the background, yeah.
Losing to Livingston completely fucked my personal plan up for this to happen. It was a tough night. It was a tough watch. Like, it wasn't a good game of football. And I'm sure everybody watched it probably agrees the same. The fact that they won it, a draw probably would have been a fair result, right? But then, listen, we made it interesting. We kept it going to the last game of the season. You want to give people a bit of money, don't you? So that was all in the plan.
I'm pretty sure Chris McGill sitting there was quite happy if it didn't go to the last game of the season.
Very much so.
Yes.
I'd say, John, would Friday night be such a high if we had beat Livingston?
It's very, very true. It certainly would. I mean, but the thing is, and Chris, this is what this. There must be an amazing mentality in that dressing room, because they came out the next game, they'd absolutely pumped Morton 5-0. And again, another one of the performances of the season with Ethan Ross's free kick. Unbelievable.
Even like talking about mentality, then. See, at that Livingston game, Christoph Berra was sitting just at the tunnel, and he caught me just as I was coming in. And he goes, "Ah, Chris, it's done. It's done." And I'm like, "It's no." I just, until Fat Lady sings and stuff. And yeah, I could feel the nerves creeping in myself. And see, when you're going into work every day and you're spending time with your boys, you don't want to come across it that way. But yeah, the mentality of these guys to go out, get beat, and then go out and play the way they did against Morton and stuff like that. But like I said, take it back to the Gaffers once again. They know how to play teams. They watch teams and they watch analysis all the time. Sometimes you even walk into the office and it's on in the telly in the background and that's what they're watching.
when did the champions, the gold champion shirts, when did they arrive, Chris? Was that what game was that before?
Trying to think. Was it
pre-Morton or was it after Morton, do you think?
I think it actually was after Morton game, yeah.
Right.
And well locked away. Never told anybody. It was a discussion between me, Mark Whittett and Jamie. And yeah, they were very much like, there's the sizes that you need. What's going to order them in, like the back-to-back t-shirts as well.
Yeah,
they were actually ordered them straight to Mark Whittett's house,
just in case.
So yeah, the champions, actual champions tops were hidden away in a cupboard, and the boys, they know nothing about them.
Jeez, right? Wow. I mean, I'm glad they didn't. I mean, again, I don't know what it was. Diggie, Ali, you might be able to say. Air United won, you know, Sean Mackey, absolute, you know, goal of the season is what you call it, the recognition night. What a strike from Sean. But again, we just couldn't see that game out. Was there a, you know, what did you put that down to? Was it just mental fatigue getting it over the line? Or
I find that's the first game I've seen sign nerves coming in. There's a time there, Hogarth went away to the side to make it easy for Colin Donaldson. And Colin Donaldson passed it straight back in the middle of the goals. Lucky enough, Hogarth was alert to come in there.
Yeah,
like, I know Donaldson would be going with a bit of an injury, but you could see a bit of nerves kicking in. Because travelling down and before the game, sitting in the main stand there, everybody thought 3 points against there, 1 point against Rafe, it's done. Afterwards, I was thinking, well, we've got the one, we're just going to beat Rafe. That mentality was in there. But you could see the players, so fair play to the players to be strong enough. They come back and fight. They did see a couple of players, the touch wasn't as sharp, but they still fought down, got the head down, and fought like Trojans to try and get a through it. Yeah. So, fair play to them.
It was a bit of a sucker punch there, United. Right. Goal. You didn't really see it coming. I thought we would have seen it out. But you could see how deflated the team were going off that pitch. Cole Donaldson usually comes in waves, but he was like straight away, totally pissed off. Like, eh? Yeah.
Ross, you were on the other side of the world at this point, enjoying cheerleading in Florida. Wraith Rovers, let's talk about the Wraith Rovers game, because that was the one that we're thinking, right, this is when it's going to happen. We're going to get it across the line. All we need is the 3 points, effectively. I mean, it was crushing. That Wraith Rovers result was crushing. How did you feel at that point, sitting? Well, you'd be quite happy going, because we might win it against this on Friday and I'll be there, but...
No, listen, you know me. I just wanted, before I left, because I knew we couldn't have won it with a win over Morton, I just wanted it done and dusted. So, like you guys, like the air game, I was like absolute hyper, because there was about six or seven of us watching it in a bar in Universal, just off Universal City Walk, enjoying ourselves watching it as well. And then, as you said, bit of a sucker punch at the end, and I thought, well, that's fine, we've got next week. And the Rafe game was just, I don't know whether it was nerves, I don't know how it felt in the stadium, But I just, I don't know. We didn't feel as if this was going to be our day at all, and we weren't in our usual sort of rhythm and routine that the team have got. The standards are just so high, and it just didn't feel like this was going to be our day. And as you said, John, after the when we reviewed the game, you just anybody but Rafe, like.
I know. Yeah.
Pains in the arses. Like, don't get me wrong, we can laugh now because they're still in the championship, right? Sorry, I shouldn't laugh at that point. But oh no, I should. But you just, yeah, anybody but that lot. And
Know.
selfishly though, it did mean that I was going to be back for any
Yeah.
potential celebrations.
Well, we'll get to that in a minute. But Sean Mackey, I think we go on to win that game if we had kept the 11 men in the park. And looking back at now, that it's obviously a blessing. Sean looked absolutely dejected when he came off that park. Chris, what was it like? What was he like in the dressing room afterwards?
So, I was actually, I never seen the red card. I was in the dressing room already. I was actually in my kit room and I've heard a roar and I'm like, that isn't a goal, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
The ground staff came through and he went, oh, Sean Mackey's been sent off. And I was like, ah. And it took so long to come off the pitch and I thought, maybe it hasn't, it's fine. And then he came in distraught, like so upset. And it tends to be myself or Jack Cunningham, the kit man, that we tend to go into the changing room with the boys just to make sure one they're all right. But Saki was gutted. Obviously, you're going to be gutted. But I never seen the, and I never watched the game back actually. So I've not actually seen the foul. I've not actually seen how it came about. But he was distraught, absolutely gutted.
Don't watch that one back. It's not one of our greatest hits because we threw away again, and this is where we all started. Diggy, your nerves must have been shot at this point, where we throw away those goals in the last few minutes as well. Fucking Dylan Easton scoring one as well, a little shite. But yeah, I mean, Ali Doogie, nerves going into that game against this old. How were you feeling on that Friday night going through to Glasgow?
See, I'm probably long the tooth now, but I've experienced a fall for thinking on the pitch, thinking we've won it. I've experienced two for other times. It gets to a point as it's nothing we can do. All we can do is go to the games, support them as much as we can, and support them as they come off it. That's all we can do as fans.
I actually thought we were going to win. In part, I felt confident we were going to get a win.
So did we all. So did we all. Chris, actually, on that, going back to the Wraith games, there was rumours that Scott Arfield asked for the dressing room and sent out everyone and just asked for the dressing room. Can you
I think
keep?
that was Thistle
Was
was the
that
chat of that was
Thistle.
post Thistle was the
Thistle.
chat that that had happened. Chris,
Right,
what
I
was
thought it was post Wraith, and then he took out all the players like that
it?
after Thistle.
Yeah. No, I think it was post Thistle.
No, I never heard anything, but yeah, there was chat obviously the changing room about it was after the Thistle game, like we need to galvanise, we need to do something. And I think you've all seen it on social media, they went to the Drake.
Yeah.
And it was just yeah, just the players. Obviously the staff were invited. But we all just said, no, I think it's time that the players just go and spend a bit of time together as well. And so the staff didn't go, but I think they actually kind of see that in the changing room, that moment at Drake has pushed them on to win that league.
Really, that's interesting here. I mean, my nerves were shot for 2 weeks. I didn't sleep after that Raith Rovers games. I looked like a ghost in my arms. Again, I've said many times, sorry, Siobhan, I was a horrible husband. Sorry, Alien Finlay, I was a horrible dad. Sorry to Radio Clyde, I was a horrible workmate to be around during those 2 weeks. I'm sure everybody felt the exact same way, though, because you were just drained. And that Thistle game was just like, oh God, it was just too much. So then the nerves build up to that the game on the Friday night. How was it around the training ground at that point, Chris, in the build up to the Hamilton game after the Thistle loss?
So, previous week, so like the likes of Wraith and Partick, everybody's talking about like, right, this is how we're going to do it, and this is what we're going to do, and if we do it, we're going to do this, and we'll get this booked, and we'll get that booked, and like, even kit man, you're putting the champagne, literally on ice, it's in the van, and that week on the lead up to Hamilton, nobody said anything, nothing. And that's why the tops were kept under wraps. Back-to-back stuff was kept under wraps. that nobody had mentioned anything. And I can remember on the lead up to the Partick game, I'd actually asked Brad, I said, Brad, what do I do with the champagne? I said, because it's not technically, you're not technically won it, even if you do win, we're not technically won it. And he's like, just keep it to yourself, but obviously take it.
Yeah.
But yeah, just that week, the lead up to the Hamilton game, nobody said anything about organising anything. It was just, let's come in, do the job, and get it done.
And, I mean, what a job Doogie and Ali it was. Just, we've talked about it in the podcast. How much were you shaking it, though, when we went 1-0 down?
Very much so. Sitting in the KM stand, you're going, this can't be happening.
To be fair, I thought, I was disappointed the goal went in. But then you see Dylan Tate just grabbing the ball, going straight up to the centre circle, right? And I thought, I'm going to... These guys have got to be beef about them here. They're not happy about that. And that gave me a wee bit of confidence. But once we went to 1-1, well, that's it. That was reasonably confident. Man.
They didn't really create many chances, to be fair. They had one or two, but...
I was probably more worried the way that I thought the... I'll take the kicking for this, John, but the Hamilton keeper, up until the first goal, the Hamilton keeper was actually playing very, very well. So a couple of goals there that I thought was, I was off my feet. I thought, but he gets a hand to it and gets it away.
Mm-hmm. Especially that chance from Aidan Nesbitt. What a save that was, by the way. Unbelievable.
But the one in the first half as well was a header that came in. And he managed to push it round the post just before the goal.
I actually thought when they scored and the keeper making those saves, I actually thought it wasn't going to be a night.
Right. Yeah.
I thought their keeper is going to stop us all night. I thought it's not going to be a night at all.
But I mean, what followed, Ross, was a complete, you know, we talked about it in the podcast last week, was just a professional Falkirk display from what we're used to across the season, because Ethan Ross, obviously, free kick, and then, you know, the scramble in the box, which is involved, and then Calvin Miller doing Calvin Miller things.
Hmm. I think this is interesting as to, like, you've got five guys here. We've all got different opinions as to how you were feeling at the time. And that sort of felt in the stadium. But the good news was no one turned. No one turned. Yeah, there was no
obviously,
panic on the pitch as well.
We talked about as well the fact that Thistle went 1-0 up really helped, I think, as well. I mean, did you know what was happening over at Livingston on the bench, Chris?
Of course, yeah. We're all kind of on the foot. So when they scored roughly, that's kind of roughly the time like I kind of walk away. Like I said, seen it in the previous podcast, when I walk away, we score. So I was kind of down in the laundry, got my stuff done, came back through it, and I kept pacing up and down the tunnel. And I think it was when I was in the changing room walking back up to come towards the pitch side. And I think it was Nizzy, and Nizzy said to me, is it still 1-0 Partick? I went, you what? He was like, is it 1-0? Straight out of the phone, brilliant. So we're all kind of sitting there on the bench, and it's Jack Cunningham, he's our score guy. He's sitting there in the corner of the bench with the scores out all the time.
I think it was that moment, there was the only seat I could get was along the north end, and there was actually the guy sitting next to us, out the phone, OG Partick. At that moment, they're thinking, well, that means it's two goals you need.
Yeah.
And two goals either way. It's either Livy to score or Hampton to score. It's two goals. And could I see two goals go against us? I was shocked to think. And that's when I could feel the whole atmosphere was going. Came right across at the whole of the main stand into the north stand.
I still didn't dare sing Champions Again at Olele until Calvin Miller scored, though I didn't bring myself to sing it. I was just like still shouting.
John, did you notice though no one sang that until the third one went in?
Yeah.
That did not get sung at 2-1. It did not get sung. But see, going back to your first question, I was fairly confident even when they scored. I thought there's enough time for us to get back into this. And you just, there felt like as Chris said, there had felt like a build-up all week. Like, my confidence personally grew as the week went on, that this was just, we were going to turn up, we were going to get the win, and it won't matter what Livy do. I know. I think you're right though. When that noise came through that Thistle had scored, it certainly that probably put itself onto the pitch as well.
It was good for everyone's mental health.
At the same time, after Hamilton scored, there was about a minute. It was silence, but then it just slowly started to build, 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 and it never really calmed down until the end of the game. It's not just the Ultras. Ultras fantastic yet again. And for what they've been through the week before as well, they were actually fantastic. But it's that through the whole main stand and the north stand. Turning around to my left, looking at the north stand, this is all people. They might have been coming in late on, but they were coming in from. Like you seen a guy from Texas coming in there, jumping about the place. And that is what it was all about. The whole place was buzzing. So
yeah, it was.
But it's a story about the club with the fans and how it's transformed those players in the park and the gaffer, Smudger, all the staff, exactly how much it's transferred from that playing pitch into those stands. Because the story's been ridiculous. Like, what was it? 5th, 6th in League One many moons ago. To then coming in and having a manager that works incredibly hard, has a lot of players that work to play for him, but work incredibly hard, and it's transferred the club, it's transformed the fan base and how everybody is reacting to that team. And it's special, like I've said it before, you're sitting on that dugout and you turn around and you go, wow, just wow.
We only need the kit man to help that in there.
What's that?
You just need the kit man to
up the ante.
I mean, it was an amazing moment in the stands when that final whistle blew and on the pitch. Chris, I mean, like, as a, you know, you're not only the kit man, you're a Falkirk supporter as well. I mean, what kind of emotions were going through at that time? You know, because certainly, you know, when you're running onto that pitch, you're trying to probably be professional in a way and get the gold kits looked out and all this sort of stuff. So you missed that. But I mean, it was just such an emotional moment. You know, me and Ross went on the pitch and just tears, just hugs, just love on the pitch and just, I guess, relief as well. I mean, were you in professional mode or did you give yourself a moment?
No. So see when, I never seen any of the goals on Friday night. I was in the tunnel and
Chris, have you seen any of the football this season at all?
I have seen some, yeah. But when the third goal, when I heard, I was just walking around the corner in the tunnel, just walking out, and then I heard Calvin Miller's goal, and I've came back in, I've walked back in, and Dara was walking out the changing room, and I dropped, like I started crying. I couldn't console myself. Dara's grabbed me and went, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "No, I need out of here." So he stuck me in the changing room and he cuddled me. He's like, "You okay?" I was like, "No, it's just a relief. It's just all the pressure has just left my body." Jack's grabbed me, "You okay?" I'm like, "No." And then it's then bang, back into professional mode. All right, let's get these kits out. So it's more so that it's the changing room. So champagne, beers, right, we need to cover everybody's kit. Mobile phones lying about. So we were like, right, how are we going to do this? We'll get the bin bags. Do you know what? We'll just chuck over everybody's stuff. Take it down, chuck over their stuff. And then we were like, right, are we going to hang up the tops? So then you've got the young boys kind of helping out as well. And they're like, right, what sizes? And I was like, look, just put them all at the front there. And the boys will come in and grab them. So that all happened. And I always said to myself, last season, I never came out to the pitch at all. I was getting stuff put away and stuff. And I always said this season it's going to be different. I want to be involved with it. I want to be part of it. So I did stand outside for the full-time whistle. And I just grabbed the manager and the backroom team. We just grabbed each other. Just what an experience.
Yeah. It was what a moment it was. What a moment. We've been asking for your, you know, in this season review, for your moments of the season. John Mitchell kicks off saying, "Taking my nephew to Queen's Park away in the train without his mum and dad, a big deal for him, in the Brockville bar from midnight till 4 a.m. in the morning after the last game." See, we all went behind the wall thinking, "Oh, I've all got to behind the wall," and then this is all at the Brockville bar, god damn it.
And where was the text from Chris McGill saying, "Come on down, boys"? There was
Listen, see, in saying that, I just a sigh of relief. I stayed in and done my laundry. I never went up anywhere. I was the only staff member down the stairs.
For goodness sake, Chris.
I know I sat there and I was sitting there looking at the washing machine going, Premier League next season. Premier League next
season. Fantastic. Colin Barr, who Chris will know from another podcast that he heard himself on this year. Paul Smith appearing at Wraith Away was just amazing. And there's a few for Paul Smiths of a similar ilk. So Gavin McGill, who we mentioned earlier, the noise when Paul Smith came out at Wraith is very underrated. And Graham Wiley said the same. That was a special moment. Its unexpected and emotional nature amid the whole Callum Morrison turmoil made it all the more memorable. You knew then we were all in it together. So that was a nice touch.
Yeah, John Harden says hospitality for my 40th when we beat Morton 6-0. It was around this time I started thinking, we could actually do this. The Wayne train was beginning to figure out its departure options around that point.
Absolutely. Inge says that whole 2-3 week period following the Morrison saga, McGlynn's interview after Paul's heart attack, the Wraith game, Scotty's first interview, then the Thistle game. It's hard to put into words.
Yeah, Evan says Celtic away in the League Cup. Final result didn't go our way, but for 60 minutes we're flying. 2,500 Falkirk fans outside the whole of Celtic Park that day.
Let's hope we do it again next year as well. Sandy Jenkins says Hearts in the Cup was pretty damn good, not knowing what was about to unfold before our eyes. Also, the look on Yeatsy's face when he scored against Celtic was very special. It's true, you forget, obviously, everybody talks about Ross McKeever, but Finn's goal like that day was just...
Finny Esther.
I've heard about that for about 2 weeks.
Colin says, after sitting for years in the main stand with empty seats all around my memory, it's when the main stand joined in with the fantastic ultras, creating a brilliant atmosphere and not a seat to be had anywhere. How things have changed. How they have indeed. Listen, we'll talk about, I've got a few questions for Chris just in a minute. But boys, since you're on and since you're our sponsors, do you want to tell us about the Lava Cup, which is coming to the Falkirk Stadium very soon?
The Lava Cup, 24th of May. Teams from Iceland, two for Holland, so Poland, two for the Outer Hebrides, and we've got the first one from across the pond coming from Nashville.
Oh, it's wow.
20 teams coming in, Northern Ireland as well, and two or three local teams as well to make up the 20 teams. So last year, these two, but we always hear amongst ourselves, if they pick a squad to win it, they shouldn't be in it. They're in there to enjoy the day. Last year, an absolutely fantastic day, right through from when we started at 12, right through to probably midnight. We had a fantastic time in the town. Will the Falkirk Fit be able to go one better than last year? We got to a final of the Shield. Don't know. We just want the guys to go out to enjoy themselves. We are putting the squad together. There'll be some surprises. Some guys who've never played in competitive football before, they'll get contacted this week, see if they're still available. Last year, we had one guy, we contacted him, and he came back and told me his wife's telling him to shut up. He's back dancing about the house because he's getting to playing it. So I'd say, but we open up, our first game will be against Solent, which is a team from down south, down in Bristol. Then we play Stratenbroen, and our next game from Holland. Then we play Killerkin from Skye. Then we have, well, this is going to be an even harder one, Evengur from Iceland.
Oh.
So Chris has been involved with the Fit Finns over the last 10 years as well, and he's been one of the reasons this has been a success, because Chris, what Chris was doing 9 to 10 years ago, set a lot of this up. But by a case of this is turning into a European Cup of Fit teams, like-minded teams. But the main aim we've got is raise as much money as we can for charity. Last year, just over 3,500 we raised for the two charities.
Right.
So we've got if you look on the Falkirk Fit T8 Facebook page, you'll see
the links are below.
Yep, there's a link there for the Just Giving page, so we can link it there. We just want to raise it there, bring a bit of custom to the town. This year, a lot of teams are staying in the Falkirk area. Orchard, Graham Hotel, Park Hotel, A&B is about the area. So they've probably got about 250 guys all staying about the local. And the Americans are coming across with their families as well. So before that, we've got Rosebank set up. They've been good for us. We've got the tournament hunt. The club has been absolutely fantastic helping us out get this on going. They've been like Paddy has been absolutely fantastic. Can't say
Yeah.
enough with Paddy. And afterwards, Brian at Behind the Walls get a couple of years reserve. We'll probably get kicked out the stadium about 8-ish, then we're back into Behind the Walls. So
Smashing. Smashing. Well, there you go. 24th of May at the stadium. It all kicks off. It's about 10:30 in the morning, isn't it, Doogie?
Opening ceremony with pipe and all that coming in at 10.
Right.
Then the first game is 10:30, where the group's due to kick off. The last game, the group they kick off just about 1:15. Then they go into straight knockout. Then we'll have the closing finals, closing ceremony. Then we'll finish off with the address to the Haggis, where we've been doing very well last year. The Icelandic team will sing us away. Then we'll go through. We've got the hospitality laid on for them. So Ross smiles there already as soon as you hear the word hospitality. There's a case of the Icelandic will bring down this stinky fish. The fish.
Smashing. So,
Aye,
sounds like it could
so
be the
we
it's
we'll bring
all
that to experience it as well. It's a fantastic day.
yeah,
Really.
and it's all for Strathcad Hospice, isn't it?
No, last year it was Strathcairn Hospice and Falkirk District Mental Health. This year it is for Maggie's Fort Valley,
Yeah.
which will have a stall down there and Andy's Man Club. We're always
Great.
trying to do local charities as much as we can, and we're probably good find there last year. Not just the smiles was put in the faces. Everybody there became a lot of friends afterwards, and but the thing really got me. We came
This
off one of the games, and Falkirk District Mental Health attained one of the guys, right up to the south stand, came stand in the corner, had a good chat with him, must have been half an hour, 3/4 an hour, and he bumped into me just after Christmas at one of the local chippies and said he went in there, he got a lot of benefit. So is that just one person we helped? That's great.
yeah.
The game changer this year is a Falkirk Daff Verum. You know what I mean? Fucking game
I
changer.
just walk back, jump off the back end of it though, guys. So, like Dougie said earlier, this jumped off a Fit Fans course 10 years ago. And genuinely, I've known these guys for 10 years off that course. I didn't realise that Ali had, Ali used to stay behind me, my mum and dad's house. I had no idea. But to go from 10 years on to a Fit Fans course to then playing fives and six, seven-a-side football inside that stadium to now having an international tournament at the stadium is unbelievable, guys. So the work that you guys have put in, it's
It's a
unbelievable.
lot of work. Oh, okay, it's Matt Bowen, Icelandic FA grassroots is their idea, but we fought very hard 3 years ago to get it to the area, and because it was in a public park at Aberdeen, so we got it to local area. Because of the playoffs, we couldn't get at the stadium. We wouldn't see what happened to the Airdrie game anyway. We could have had it stadium. We got it local to the Bowness, but last year we managed to get it to the stadium. We've got it there again because he is back to back as well. So we got it again to them. And it's basically we've seen our Tuesday night and Monday night squads as the guys are just buzzing. They just want to get involved.
See when the strip and you're getting piped onto the park and all that, it's a special feeling. Wearing the Fokker jersey onto your home pitch, can you? It's
Great.
just can't you describe how proud you are, eh, honestly.
Guys, I
Brilliant.
can recommend it to any of the general public, any fans, any people that want to come along and just spend time with good people. And you guys have done it. Ian Mitchell, Willie Anderson, who else? Drew. Genuinely just nice people. And I would totally say to any fan or anybody that wants to get involved with you guys, 100%, because you'll be made to feel welcome
Don't
every
forget the Haggis Supper Club as
The
well.
Haggis Supper as
Yeah.
well.
Well, I said, if you want to do it, it's every Monday at the stadium, 8 to 9, Tuesday, 7:30 to 8:30. And of course, the Super Vets football is happening. So, there you go,
Football.
Chris. I'm glad it caught on. Friday, 5 to 6 p.m. Strictly over 50s, 8 aside, but playing to the old five-a-side rules. There you go. Listen, before we kind of put tie a bow on this, Chris, for a couple of questions in from you, and let's kick off from Gregory Hotchkiss. He says, how particular are the players and how their kit is arranged pre-match, and how superstitious are they about, for example, do they dress in a certain order?
You've not got a lot of superstitions in that changing room, to be honest. I think, like I said, Callum Morrison was one that he used to have his particular sweeties or aftershave, and they used to just go around and bounce about after take everybody's aftershave. If you'd scored one week, you'd take half of them. But there's not really any particular superstitions. Leon McCann, I've got to wash his shin guards every week, and I think it was the Hamilton game. He came up to me, he says, "Oh, where's my shin guards?" And it was after the Partick game they had put in the boot hamper. But I've got to wash his shin guards every week. Same with Keelan Adams. So their shin guards have always got to be packed within their pile of kit. But there's not really any superstitious. They've got the song that I can't remember the song, but they've always got to play the same song before they walk out the changing room.
Interesting, interesting.
Lovely stories like that. That's class. Craig Meikle says, and this is definitely directed to you, Chris, the biggest prank that you have done this season.
Because you get me a bother for this. So Sean Mackey has no idea, and this is the first time it'll come out. I cut holes in his shorts in the ball area. See, like you see in the day in the life of the kit man when he's hiding my frames and stuff. I'm still missing Jesse Lingard. He's been missing for about a month now, and I just got fed up of it. And it's still probably in the shop. It's probably in the ceiling tiles. I've not looked, but I just got to the stage one time, went into the physio's room, set a scissors out, cut a hole in the ball area, left them to it.
Good revenge.
Still no idea who had that, but it will know now. Is it?
Stevie Gibson, I'm sure you know Stevie, says, how many years sock sponsorship has Mr. Lineker taken out after Ibiza, and when can I get him to sign my CM Grip socks?
Well, I'm not be signing the CM Grip socks. I'll put a wee rude gesture on that for him. But aye, Wayne Lineker, aye, he was at Ocean Beach. Didn't he want to come speak to big time?
I love the sun. It's like the picture of the front, kit man's front and center. There's the bulge in.
Oh, listen, I got caned for that, so my phone just blew up, right? And all the boys are going, "What is this? What is this?" And then you read the article, Scott Arfield can't be seen in the photo. He's there. Wild. Why, the kit man gets a mention, but Scotty doesn't get one. Like, my phone blew up that day, and we were in Ocean Beach at the time, and the boys are like, "What? Look at the state of this guy."
That is class. That
Brilliant.
is class. It's not a question, although I'm going to finish with a question in a second, but we've got a comment for Neil Cox. Everybody knows Cox. He says, I don't have a question, but I just want you to let Chris McGill know that of all the teammates I've ever had, his moobs are the cutest I've seen by far.
Listen, see Coxie couldn't pick a team out his arse.
That's because he's who bench you.
Oh my, exactly.
Chris, we can't have you on no asks, right? It's
Ross is dead. I know what Ross question Ross
you
is
know
going to
fine
ask
well.
you.
So it's the 11th of May. They're probably already made. Have you seen the new kits and what do they look like?
They're lovely.
They're lovely.
That's all he's saying.
Is
That's
that
all
all
you're
you're
going to
getting?
get from him. And just make sure there's red socks to go with them, Chris.
Traditional home kit, yeah.
Don't change for
Feel
anyone, even Celtic Rangers.
that.
Tell them to bugger off. You do what you know what you're
But I mean, Chris, I mean,
doing.
how excited? I mean, you've been League One invincibles. You're now involved with a team who are back to back championships. How excited are you about next season getting to go to places like Ibrox and Pittodrie and Easter Road?
I just can't look. I look forward to the size of the dressing rooms. We'll see what the dressing rooms are like first. But I've heard they're all relatively good. And like I've got a list up the stairs, like one of those checklists, a scratch map of what grounds you've been to.
Oh yeah,
Do you know what? I'm amazed at how many grounds I've managed to cover in the last 2.5 years.
What
Yeah.
was your well, there's a question. What was your worst? Was it Wick?
Wick was actually really good,
Was it?
very good. Wick actually had it was actually two changing rooms they had, and I stuck the staff in the other one. But yeah, Kelty Hearts is the smallest changing room where you've got to lift your hampers over benches. And don't be wrong, a lot of kit men have to walk out. They have to work out the shower area, but Kelty Hearts is it's tiny, tiny.
Well, hopefully we won't be there soon enough. That's unless it's the cup, so that's good news. And listen, guys, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the podcast. Chris, absolute legend as ever. Doogie, Ali, not so much, but you know. but no, listen, guys, honestly, thanks for the Falkirk football fans and training support across the season on the podcast. Chris, thanks for, again, just coming in and giving us a really nice insight into this season. Looking forward to seeing you big timing it up in the Premiership next season.
I just want to say thank you to you guys. The content and the work that you guys put into the podcast every week. And don't be wrong, the last 2 or 3 weeks, I didn't listen it. I had
quite right.
Yeah, I caught up with it and all, but you're glad to know I get caned for listening to it in my room in Ibiza. The boys like, why are you listening to a Falkirk podcast? You're there, so come on, leave me alone. sitting on or just outside our balcony, outside the room, with Falkirk Daft on, shouting, back to back, baby.
Amazing, amazing. Chris, Doogie, Ali, thanks very much. And next year we'll be back with more guest pundits as we are into season 4 of Falkirk Daft. Jesus Christ.
Well done, guys. Well done.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, we're navy blue. Are you?
Well, we're saying, can't believe it's the end of the season. Can't believe we've come to this. We've covered everything off, but before we go, the Peter Godfrey role of honour has to be there. Peter Godfrey, I can't believe the coincidence, was actually at the game.
He was Crunchy, wasn't he?
Yeah. Crunchy says he's pretty much at every game, actually, Big Peter. So Big Peter, I was watching back then. I was actually watching back ahead of doing my bit with Yogi and Crunchy. I was watching back the Clyde Bank game where Peter was obviously playing as well. So, just total. But anyway, role of honour: Gary, Archie, Joe, Ronnie, Mark, Don, William, Lauren, Stuart, Phil, Paul, Elsa, Michael, Grant, Dave, and Dale are all on the Peter Godfrey role of honour, and we'll start a new role of honour next season, where we're going to have some changes coming to Falkirk Daft. Keep your eyes on the old socials. We've got some ideas, some fresh ideas, because we are now officially a Premiership podcast, Ross.
Who'd have thought it?
Who would have thought it? Honestly, what a 2 seasons it's been. It's just been unbelievable. We started doing this podcast, God, now it's coming, like I say, we're going into our 4th season.
Summer of 2022 was episode.
So 3 years, 3 years we've been going at it now, and it's just been, you know, we always said it started off as just a labour of love and a bit of fun, and you know, the fact that we're now speaking to you guys, doing events at Behind the Wall, and you know, having like speaking to Chris, the kit man, and you know, we've had John on and Paul and Jamie, and hopefully maybe speak to Jamie actually during the summer. That'd be quite
that would be nice.
Preview of what's going to happen next season. But yeah, keep an eye on our socials. Lots of exciting stuff coming there. News of events, news of other podcasts. It's very exciting. We will reveal, me and Ross have to have a planning meeting, which will probably happen at his bar at some point over the summer, which I might get an invite eventually for. But no, it's been a phenomenal season, Ross, and it's just been.
It has. It's a lot of firsts for us, a lot of firsts for the club. But from our perspective, I know you've said it, but just like, thank you so much to every single person that watches and listens to our nonsense, because when we did talk about doing this the very first time, it was like, I don't know if somebody's going to want to listen to this. And obviously, people do. And we are massively thankful for every single person that does. And this year with the events has been phenomenal. Mannequin last week was just bonkers as well. But yeah, just thank you so much. We're now going to have a break and we're going to chill.
Our families might get to see a wee bit of us now, which would be nice as well. So yeah, enjoy your summer off, everyone. Enjoy being a Bairn. It's going to be a roller coaster ride next season. We're totally here for it. Falkirk Daft will be with you every step of the way. And until then, we're back to back, baby.
Back to back, baby. Expect the unexpected.
We're Falkirk Daft. We're Falkirk Daft. Talking about the dark blues and having a bit of a laugh. We're Falkirk Daft. We're Falkirk Daft. You can listen in the pub or you can listen in the bath. We're Falkirk Daft.
for Falkirk Daft. For everyone who's kidding about being a Falkirk, then we're Falkirk Daft. We are Falkirk Daft.